This is HR Talk. I am the face. I have JC and Ricky Baez here for you today. And just for you HR managers out there, which is probably 75% of the subscribers, which is, what, 3 out of 4? Nobody likes meetings. Don't have them. Send a freaking email.
Words of wisdom from the face of the franchise. Simply put, he's sitting there saying people don't like meetings. Ricky, how you doing today?
I don't like meetings. Do you?
I don't think anyone does. I don't know. I enjoy some meetings. I mean, there's some things you meet about, you talk about, it's worthwhile. But for the most part, who really does love them? Come on.
I mean, depends what the meeting's about. But yeah, if we're meeting about who's going to bring what for the potluck, I'm there.
Yeah, right?
I'm definitely there.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC, co-host of HR Talk, going across the bow all the way down to sunny Central Florida. Please welcome back your keynote host and speaker of many HR conferences, Ricky Baez.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody finds that hilarious. Hello, sir. Guess what I did over the weekend?
What?
I went to go see Captain Marvel.
So did I.
Really?
Yeah, I did, actually. What'd you think?
You first.
I thought it was fantastic. Well,
first, wait. Who'd you go with? Your family or just you?
My child.
Your child. Okay.
Yes.
Did your child like it?
Absolutely. And then we delved into like some of the theories and things that are behind it. I know there's a lot of people out there that really don't enjoy some of the origin stories, but I'll tell you what. This was a solid one. It kind of brought the world of the entire thing back together, and it posed a lot of potentials for the future. And kudos to that to the organization there pushing out the movie and the movies in the time frame that they're doing it. Because if you're watching these in order, you're going to go watch this and pay to watch this so that you can see the next one that's coming up in like 30 or 60 days, right?
That's true. No, you're right. They did a good job in strategically dropping hints on when these movies are going to come out. It was awesome. Now, the movie itself for me, I mean, it was good. I'm not going to put it up there as the last Avengers movie, Infinity Wars. I wouldn't put it up there, but I don't know. I just thought she could do a better job with the acting.
But the premise
was cool.
I thought she was really good. Yeah, no, I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the character that she was playing at that time, and I don't want to ruin the story for anyone, but a little bit later on in the flick there, she comes into the knowing, into the being of who she is, and things change, man. It was really good. I like in the end how she died. Right before that part, she's like, I hear dead people. It was so weird, dude, you know? I didn't realize she was dead the whole time.
The first 20 minutes was so confusing. Actually, the first half hour. Because you hear people, look, I'm not going to give it away. All I'm going to say is that you will find out how Nick Fury got his eye patch.
Oh, man, that was harsh.
It's a crappy... It was done really crappy.
Listen.
Don't say it.
No, listen. When you're golfing and that alligator gets your eye, it's all downhill, man. You know? I'm like, Chubbs. I think I'm getting my movies confused, Rick.
Yeah,
I'm not good at
this
game.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Scarface. No, so with this one, I thought it was good. It was my fault. I went in there expecting a Avengers Infinity Wars caliber type of a film, and it fell short of it. But as far as the story is concerned, aligning everything, they did a really good job with it. The soundtrack was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was good. Awesome. It was good. It was staged in the 90s, and you know, it was a flashback musically. And they seem to kind of keep doing that with their themes, you know. Mm-hmm. So as they reach into the future, I'm curious what future music's going to sound like. Because without them, I won't know, you know?
There you go. So, yeah, did you stick around for the end credits little...
Oh, yeah, we stay all the way to the very end.
So there were two of them, you know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, got it. All right, yeah. Yeah, that last one, I'm like, really? We waited for that? That's what we waited for.
I like how we're talking about stuff that we really can't talk about. That's pretty cool.
I mean, what do you mean? We're not saying anything.
No,
it's
I know.
Common knowledge that every Marvel movie has an Easter egg at the end, a little trailer at the end.
Dude, so I'm still surprised like how many people leave like as soon as the credits kick on. It's like, have you seen a single one of these movies yet? Don't no. you know how this goes?
There's always like 3% who always leave. Oh, I guess we're done. Let's put the popcorn right where it belongs.
I felt so bad. Yeah. There was a mom sitting next to me with her very young child, and she was enjoying the movie, but the young child had to go to the restroom multiple times. And by the third time, she was just angry. And I feel bad for the little dude, too. Yeah. You know, I'm like, and then he's like in the middle of the movie, like everyone's all silent. And then he's like, they said a bad word. I'm like, this is too cute. Yeah. Why don't you take him to the next Hannibal Lecter movie while you're at it then, you know?
Awesome. So, all right. I guess as people are saying it's good. Our buddy, who shall remain nameless, gave us a call right before this show started, and he wanted to know what I thought about it. He loved it. So I'm just going to wait until Endgame comes out here in about a month. I think it's April 27th.
I do believe you're right.
That's going to be awesome.
Hey, this past weekend, though, I also had the chance to MC an event here in Western New York. It was the Kaylee's Kindness annual mother-daughter luncheon. This is the fourth year that they've turned to me to MC the event, representing the organization that I'm with privately, as well as HR Talk. It was my pleasure to be out there, help raise funds. And once again, for the fourth year in a row, we raised, I think it was somewhere near that $40,000 mark to help teenage girls living with cancer in the region. Should you desire to learn a little bit more, just Google Kaylee's Kindness Foundation. I do believe that's kayleeskindness.org. They are still accepting donations online. 100% of the proceeds go directly to helping teenage girls living with cancer. And it was my pleasure and honor to be out there on behalf of myself, my private business, as well as HR Talk. So thank you for calling on me. And kudos to you for the fantastic work that you do for teenage kids living with cancer within the region here.
And that's the fourth year that you do that event?
It's the fourth year that I've been the MC for the event. Prior to my time, it used to be newscasters, different broadcasters, and they did turn to me to step up to the plate. They were very enamored and stoked with the product that they received. So we continued to keep pushing forward. It's my pleasure to do that for them.
Awesome. 40 grand, huh?
Yep. Nice. Well, approximately. I don't know. I'm ballparking. They'll probably publish official figures a little bit later on. Cool. But they do also sponsor a particular room at the local children's, I believe it's Children's Hospital or Roswell Park Cancer Institute. I think it's Children's Hospital, though. I may be mistaken on that, but they've donated a lot of money to help build a room to help these teenage kids with cancer and help with some of the recovery. And it's a lot of that social and emotional well-being of the child that they tend to and cover things in ways that other foundations don't. So they really do a great service to the community, and it's always my pleasure to be out there for them.
Awesome. Well, good job there, JC.
Oh,
go ahead
you.
And keep doing that. So you're becoming quite the MC, a star, because you're going to do a show. I'm not going to call it a show. You're going to MC a couple of events down here, right? Here in Central Florida?
Yeah, that's right. We've got the Space Coast HR Conference coming up. That's going to be in April here. Ricky will have some of the information on the tickets and whatnot there. We'll be talking about some of the sponsors and have some representatives from the organization on coming up in future shows. But it's going to be my honor and pleasure to be down there and help that organization continue to grow. You know, there's a lot of HR conferences out there across the country, but Space Coast is it's a unique one. And it's a smaller one that's on the growth path. And if you're looking for a little bit of attention to detail in the areas of human resources that you might not always, you know, get at some of the other conferences, you're going to get more in-depth information here at this one than at some of the other ones. I don't know. The lineup reads fantastic. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of these professionals and really, really getting into the details of what they have to present. It's going to be a good time. And then also, on the heels of that, we're going to be moving up to Gainesville, Florida, the next day taking the HR Talk podcast on the road from the shore to the North Country. And we're going to be out there in Gainesville for Disrupt North HR 1.0. That's what you call it, right? It's the North Country of Florida.
No, it's just Gainesville. I don't know if it's called the North Country.
I'm sorry. That's Gator Country, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. They call it Gator Country. They call it the Swamp. We got a busy month coming up here in April. Disrupt HR Orlando 6.0.
Oh, that's coming up. You're hitting that right here at the end of the month, aren't you?
Yes, sir. The 27th of March. That's going live. Tickets have been sold out for a couple of weeks now. So
are you presenting this year on that?
I'm not. I haven't presented in the last couple of ones. I've done enough. I've done enough, my fair share of presentations for Orlando, and I just want to give other people the platform so they can bring their flavor. I want to keep different people, different points of view, different ideas, different perspectives on the platform. So that's why I chose not to do it, but I am going to present at the Gainesville one.
Oh, fantastic.
Want to help them kick off. So, yes, we have Disrupt HR Orlando 6.0 on the 27th of March. Then we have the following month, Space Coast, and the very next day after that, we're going to Gainesville, and then I'm going to sleep for a week. That's just exhausting just saying it, let alone actually doing it. So we have a lot of stuff coming up. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. And I did get the confirmation that Wendy Sellers, the organizer of Disrupt HR Gainesville, has committed to come back to the show, so we could talk a bit about that. Sweet. And we're also going to be talking about the Space Coast HR Conference with her as well. So that'll be in the coming weeks. Hey, I sent you an article over the past few days, and then I sent you probably about 17 more. And then before the show today, you said, hey, you sent me that article. I really want to talk about that. Rick, I have no idea what you're talking about. What article did I send you?
You don't know which article you sent me?
Was it the one about like how people hate human resources? Or how human resources is useless?
Actually,
or don't talk or trust your HR department? Was it any of those?
I think that's the one. Hold on. I think it's called... It was published on Fortune Magazine.
Okay.
And I think it's called HR is Not Your Friend and Here's Why.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, by Claire Zillman and Erica Fry. And I read it. And I don't think it should be called HR is Not Your Friend, and Here's Why.
All right, real quick, premise, high-level look down. Tell us what you think it should be called, but then also tell us a little bit about the article.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I think it should be called HR is Not Your Friend at Microsoft, because apparently this article... It's about, I guess there's a lawsuit. There's a class action lawsuit on behalf of a lot of females that worked at Microsoft who either did not get a promotion or they filed sexual harassment complaints with HR and nothing was done. And the first half of the article is talking about how HR at Microsoft failed Microsoft, and that's why they have that lawsuit on their hands. So it was a little bit misleading as far as the title is concerned, but then towards the end of the article, it starts talking about how there's a sharp rise in complaints lodging HR departments all across the U.S. And these things keep coming up and nothing happens. A lot of these complaints are ignored. And because they're ignored, people go to the outside, they get attorneys, they go to the EEOC and file a complaint. And alas, here's where we are right now. So it was a good article. I kind of wanted to talk about it. And I guess you didn't know what you sent me, so I don't think you read it.
Wait, question for alas? You said alas. Here we are now.
Here we go. Here we go.
You mean alas?
Hold on. I was watching a show the other day, and somebody said niche. And I'm like, holy crap. Why can't I record that
the niche
and then throw it on the show? Shit, dude. Anyway, so but did you read it?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. I read the title and I thought it was amazing for a title, so I sent it to you. That was pretty much the gist of it. It was like, don't trust HR. I'm like, ooh, that reminds me of you.
It was good.
Okay, so the summary of not being able to trust HR at Microsoft comparative to not trusting HR in general. Like, okay, I've got the premise of what the article is. And the audience is kind of listening in right now wondering, okay, cool, we get the premise. Why would you lead with that title? And what are you trying to say by using that title?
Clickbait.
That's really all it is, right?
It's clickbait, yeah. I mean, it got you to click on it and send it to me. It should say clickbait, but not read and send it to some other people. Yeah, that's what it should be called. No, but according to this, it's about 8,600 women engineers and IT specialists. They were out of 518 promotions between $100 million and $238 million in pay between 2011 and 2016. So they were out 518 promotions worth that much. That's what this lawsuit alleges. And their HR department, they're saying that we did everything we're supposed to do. So they didn't get the promotions for other valid reasons, which I would love to know what they are.
Wait a second. So they're just a little bit different than Google in a way, where Google went to the other side of the spectrum, right? We were talking about that recently, right? So Google's in the process of like redesigning their whole thing, and then they shifted the needle from A to Q, right?
No, but here's the thing. So Microsoft is being sued. Google was just doing a self-assessment, and they're trying to correct past behavior. Lawsuit was filed, but in their own investigation, in their own quality check process, they found out that they went the other way. I mean, that's still a better position to be in than being sued by 8,600 women engineers and IT specialists.
So
it gives a couple of examples on here that it shows there's one example of a internet security strategist who filed a complaint in HR three times about her boss who was sexually harassing women in the group. Her boss was cut out her pay. And what HR did, take a wild guess. What did HR do?
No
idea. Three complaints about sexual harassment. Just take a wild guess. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
They fired everybody.
No, obviously not there, JC. They moved him.
Promote the problem.
So here's the funny part. They moved him to another department, and as a result of moving him to another department, it put him in a position where he could be promoted quicker.
So
he got promoted quicker. And then when they moved him, they promoted somebody else into that position that was a colleague of hers who I guess has less experience. And he cut out her pay and bonus, although she was the most qualified person and the best performer on that team.
Oof.
It cannot get any more blatant than that.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on right there, man.
Yeah, and then there's another engineer who claims in the lawsuit that her boss, her male boss, told her that he didn't want to waste a promotion on her.
What?
Because she just had a baby. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
2010, that he didn't want to waste a promotion on her. She just had one baby, and he imagines she wants to have another one soon. Could you imagine?
No. No, I can't. You done had the babies. You're staying home now, right? Man.
This article is about a month old, but I got to tell you, man, if any of that is true, Microsoft is in a world of trouble. They're in a world of trouble. And
women filed 118 gender discrimination claims to Microsoft, and Microsoft deemed one as founded. From Fortune.com, 3/13/2018. Microsoft in the news, my brother.
Yeah, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're saying each and one of those claims of why they didn't get that promotion as justifiable, meaning that they found a reason, a credible, non-discriminatory reason as to why they didn't get it.
According to court filings made public Monday and reported by Reuters, women working in U.S.-based technical jobs filed 238 internal complaints of gender discrimination or sexual harassment to the tech giant between 2010 and 2016. Of the 118 claims of gender discrimination filed, Microsoft deemed one as founded, according to unsealed court documents.
So here's one piece that really burns me about this article. So they interviewed a New York-based attorney. He's an employment-based attorney. His name is Kevin Minster. Right. And he said, HR is not your friend. HR is not your confidant. And the reason he says that is that although HR is, you know, they're nice, they're well-meaning as they may be, but they're not your colleagues. At the end of the day, management signs their paycheck, and their number one priority is to serve and protect the company. That burns me. It really does. And here's why. And here's why I'm leading off with
that. But that's what HR does, right? That's what you do. You're the consigliere, or how you say.
Correct. Yeah, the consigliere.
Okay, but
here's what happens. A true HR department, a strategic, forward-thinking HR department, he's right. They do focus on the best interests of the organization. Management signs their paychecks. But by thinking of the best interest of the organization, it could be that if a manager is sexually harassing some of his employees, his or her employees, then that HR department needs to act accordingly. And by acting accordingly, conducting an investigation, doing what they need to do, and if everything was substantiated, discipline the person, get them out, that is in the best interest of the organization. So to assume that management signs the paycheck and they're working in the best interest of the organization is only one-sided, to only side with the organization, I think it's just it's wrong and it's short-sighted. So with that said, going back to all these claims, these two examples in the Microsoft case, especially the first one with that first person who filed three complaints in about 3 years, HR should have stepped in. Moving the person, I don't think was the right approach. I mean, given with the evidence that I have in front of me right now, I think disciplinary action up to and including termination, depending on what they found, that should have been the proper course of action, not promoting him into a position where he can get promoted faster than what he was before. So
HR, your best friend.
Not best friend, but look, I tell people all the time, HR is not on the side of the employees. HR is not on the side of the organization. HR is on the side of fairness. Fairness could be that a manager is wrong. Fairness can be that the employee is wrong. But at the end of the day, the HR department, a true HR department who is there for the right reasons, would do what they need to do to make sure they remove the people from that organization that disrupt whatever culture they built.
But ultimately, who signs HR's paycheck?
Well, correct. The organization does.
So at the end of the day, you may as well just fall in line and do whatever they say, right?
Not really. It depends how it's set up, right? Because at a lower level, the business owner or the business leader of that line of business should not be the person overseeing human resources. Like right now, I don't report to the person overseeing the lines of business that I support. I report to somebody completely different. I have no lineage. They're only my business partners. Now, at some point, that's going to change, right? Because once you get to the very top of the organization, you got the CEO who's in charge, and the CEO is in charge of the CHRO, COO, and all these other presidents. So that's different. I'm talking a lot lower in the organization. You're scratching your beard.
Yeah.
That's weird. Why are you scratching your beard?
End of the day, it's really down to like the people in HR having to make that choice. Are you going to be old hat, or are you going to fall in line and do these things and treat everything like a trade secret, or are you going to be that neutral party in the middle? Right? Here's a question for you: trade secrets, is diversity and inclusion a trade secret? Is that something that you got to keep under your hat, man?
Diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, your numbers. Secret? Your numbers.
Okay.
Are you going to keep that secret? Should it be a secret? Is that something to talk about?
I mean, I think if you're, so here's the thing. if you're proud of those numbers and you're doing something to make them better, to make them more equalized, yeah. Put them out there. Flaunt them. Let everybody know that maybe you're a little bit off balance, but here's the steps that you're taking to make sure that you're right balancing the demographic of the organization. There's nothing wrong with that. I thought you meant Trade Secrets as a consulting firm that has a special way how to fix that, and that is their, here we go, niche. And they're going to go ahead and – so, yeah, that would be a Trade Secret.
Well, right. But depending on the way that you approach your organization, maybe you've got that built in your head where, you know, this is a big Trade Secret kind of thing, and I'm going to keep it under my hat this whole time, right? We're not giving out those numbers. We're not doing those things.
This well, it depends.
If special private time. I'm the one that's got the special numbers. You got to come to me for that. Yeah.
If you're insecure about your organization and you're just insecure in general, then yeah, I can understand why you would keep that close to the vest. But
insecure or unsecure?
Insecure.
Okay, got it.
Insecure. Unsecure is different.
Got it.
Right? Unsecure is something that's insecure. That was a great way to explain it.
I can't wait for you to listen back to this like minute right here. You'll get why I brought that up. That's fine. Go on.
Whatever. Shut up. Yeah. Insecure. Then you go, oh, what did you do? Did you put me like some kind of a filter voice on there?
No.
Did you put an echo on there?
No, you said the word unsecure two times, so I just jumped on.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did. Sorry. You've had a day.
I really did, man. Hey, I really did.
Why didn't we record yesterday? A lot of people are wondering this. I mean, we're 26 minutes in right now.
Yeah.
We were going to have a special guest on today, weren't we?
We were. But I think you know the reason why we couldn't record yesterday. Yeah. You had to do the MC event.
That's exactly why. Well, aside from that, though, I mean, making accommodation for the special guest today would have been fantastic. But I'm so excited at the fact that we do have commitment from this special guest come back next week. And that's going to be good. That's going to be good. Yes. I'm not lying to you.
And did you want to see who it is?
No. No, unless you do. Okay. I mean, do we have him on contract yet, or is it just verbal agreement?
No big secret. We don't have a contract.
Isn't it a trade secret that you want to keep to yourself?
No. See, I mean, I'm really insecure about that. No. Yeah, it's Sweet Baby Jay. He is going to be with us on the next episode. He was supposed to be here this episode. Something else happened. We had to reschedule, but he is excited. Man, as soon as we connected with him to say, hey, come on the episode again, on the show again, he shot a bunch of ideas my way about what we should talk about. That cat, I've never seen anybody other than us as excited about talking about a boring subject as HR. As he is. But he is awesome. He loves to bring that what if type of a flavor to the show. What if this happens, Ricky? What if that happens? And all those what ifs are never, ever hypothetical. There's always a story that he was somehow involved in, and they're very detailed about how somebody can get fired. They are awesome. So I cannot wait until having him on next week. It's going to be great. We need to have him.
It would have been nice to see him dissect this this article a little bit. But, hey, there'll be other articles next week. But, yes, I agree. Him and The Face together, I think that I would just sit back, hit record, and listen. I'm going to tell you that. Yeah.
So when you're down here for next month, for the next few events, I'm telling you, I'm going to get him in here. I'm going to get The Face. I'm going to go ahead and get Sweet Baby Jay. We're all going to have a nice little bar here and just let them go at it. I think that is going to be podcast gold. I cannot wait for that to happen.
All right. So I'm sorry for the side jaunt there. I just, you know, just popped in my head. So I figured I'd mention it right away. I do have a serious question for you, though. When you're talking about diversity and inclusion and those being critically important to your organization, and you're encouraging employees to speak up if they have concerns, and you emphasize how you strive to make it easy for the employees to do so, and you do start to tout your numbers, do you evolve into an organization that's more focused on the importance of diversity and inclusion rather than core business? Like, can you get overwhelmed by that in the modern era?
You can. But remember, if you focus on the importance of diversity, the value, the talent that you're going to get from a balanced, diverse workforce, that in itself is going to take care of the business. It is, because you are tapping into different points of view, and you're encouraging different points of view, people to take a risk and just be a part of the machine that lets the business do what it does best, whatever that business is.
Right.
If you go ahead and focus on those diversity numbers, let me tell you, man, you're going to get a vibe. You're going to get an environment that people are just going to love. And when people are happy at work for the reason the job itself exists, the business is not going to suffer. It's the opposite exactly.
Yeah, but you've seen it like I have, where there's too much focus, too much emphasis, too much time spent on just the numbers. Get the reports, get the numbers. And at the end, what are you actually doing with that? Are you going to devise a plan from that? Or are you spending the entire year or quarter just trying to get numbers, to analyze the numbers, to compare it to the other numbers, and never have an action plan? But you could justify the fact that you pull numbers, problem. So yeah, that you could talk numbers.
Yeah. So a lot of it's, I get what you're saying. Some organizations, they want to get the numbers, and they're analyzing the information. Like, oh, look what we found out. They spend all this time and effort into analyzing everything about what needs to happen, and not enough time on actually implementing that plan and doing something about it.
See, that's the difference in human resources. In HR, you have an H where you can emphasize the need for the human factor. When you talk analytics, there's no H. No. Can we respell the word? Can we include an H in there somewhere? Analytics? Put the H back in analytics. Well, wait a minute.
A loss.
I don't think you can put the H in analytics, can you?
Yeah, it's silent.
I mean, metaphorically speaking.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, but... But to answer your question, JC, you're wondering if I'm catching your point. You're wondering if it's worthwhile to put a lot of emphasis on getting a diverse workforce, if that's all you're going to focus on first and not in the business. And second, once you get that data, if you do nothing with it, then what happens? What's the point?
Exactly.
You're right. So it's I give you a great example, an organization that throws a survey out there and says, hey, tell me what you think. Don't be afraid to be honest.
Oh, like yeah. NFL teams. Tell me what you think about your season ticket experience.
Uh-oh. And what happened there, JC? Come on, sweet baby J. Tell me this.
Then they get rid of tailgating. Then you're not allowed to have actual bottle beers in the stadium. You're not allowed to carry a can. Yeah, on and on. These things happen.
So now what's going to happen, right? Now, are you going to fill out that survey again?
Probably not. you're gonna lie, and you're gonna tell false truths so that you could tailor the story a certain way, right?
Yeah.
Does the same happen when we put these surveys out to our organizations? I mean, of course you have to factor for that. It's a risk.
Yeah. It is. It is a risk. You do, but it's a little bit different when you're talking about a diverse workforce and understanding what motivates this workforce. And when you put a survey out there to really fully understand what they want to see from their organization, it's one thing to collect that information, aggregate it, analyze it, and then come up with some key points. It's something completely different not doing anything about it. Because that sends an even worse message. Because if you don't put anything out there, you could just plead ignorance. Oh, I wouldn't know. But if you put something out there, you get the information and you do nothing with it, not only do you tell them you do know at that point, but you really don't give a shit at that point, right? That's a worse situation to be in than having the survey not exist in the first place.
So if you have to put a press release together that comes out and says that we encourage our employee, and I quote, by the way, from the Fortune.com article here, right? Mm-hmm. Encourages employees to raise concerns and has numerous channels for them to do so. We take each concern seriously and have a separate team of experienced professionals whose job it is to investigate these types of allegations thoroughly and in a neutral way and to reach a fair conclusion based on the evidence. it's appreciated the fact that they're coming out and saying, as Microsoft, that they have a team of people to do this. And I appreciate reading the fact that they're analyzing that data and that they are coming to a fair conclusion based on the evidence. Not once within that statement are they saying anything about their desired intentions to help humans along the way.
So
it's the analyzing of the data. We can assume that the fair conclusion based on the evidence involves human interaction and adjustment of policy and procedure. But when you're not taking the moment to say that and actually make that part of your essential message, it roots back to exactly what you were talking about earlier on in the show about putting the H back in analytics.
I never said that, but okay.
Oh, no, I did. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you said it was silent, though.
So that's a fair point. But you got to understand, we're taking this information from this article just with the evidence they have in hand, which is not much, right? So I personally have been in investigations that I've conducted where I know something happened, but the evidence just isn't there to support it, right? Just because you don't have the evidence, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means you can't do anything about it.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. So I've seen situations that I've had one manager who does get accused of sexual harassment. After a thorough investigation, there's nothing to corroborate that claim. And then I take that opportunity to have a conversation with that manager and remind that manager of our sexual harassment policies that we have. And depending on how severe that allegation was, although it wasn't sustained, I will go ahead and send them through training just in case. Now, let's say, for example, if the same manager gets accused 5 times in a year, and each time in the investigation process, nothing comes up where I can corroborate. On its own, each investigation, not much I can do. But if I take a step back and I put all those allegations together, there is enough smoke in that forest for me to say there's a fire and we got to get rid of this guy or girl, whoever it is. So you can take action based on the totality of the allegations, although each allegation on its own wasn't sustained. Does that make sense?
It does. And okay, it's boring as hell to talk about.
Yeah, it
is. I'm not going to lie. It really is.
No, it really
is. But it's essential to talk about, but, you know.
It is essential to talk about, but if you start reading some of these allegations that I have seen, they are really, really out there, and you need to bring out that popcorn.
Hence more the reason why you shouldn't trust HR. HR why? Is not your friend, just like the article says.
Why?
Because they're going to go to the totality of the situation, and even if there's not any evidence, they're going to slam you against the wall, and they're going to find what they need to and make a case and fire you regardless.
Okay, Mr. Owner of an organization. So now you have an employee, a manager.
I like who this
manager. Yeah. So you have. Yeah, I can see your
neck. You got my attention. Go.
Yeah, you're like a Latina girl in the Bronx about to get into taking off your jewelry.
You are terrible.
I'm from the Bronx, whatever. So
it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. You could be from the Bronx, but it doesn't make it right. Go on.
You have an organization. You got about 800 employees. You got one manager who you know has the creepers. He's a creep, and he keeps looking at these ladies and talking to them, doing all these things, right? And every time a complaint comes to human resources, nothing is sustained. This is your 10th allegation in a year.
Yep.
Now you got 4 employees who are bringing a lawsuit against you for negligent retention. Because although they have gone to human resources and they have filed a complaint and nothing has happened, they still have to go to work under these circumstances that create a hostile work environment for them. What are you going to do?
Promote the problem. Put him in a different sector of the organization where he could get promoted faster.
I am done. And then we're going to bury the numbers.
What? I took a page from Microsoft's book. For a second.
Yeah, but,
They make the goddamn
the
Surface
article.
Pro. They make cool things, dude. I don't know what to tell you. They're like billionaires. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? You got 800 employees and you got this situation. Guess what? Now you got 799. Hey, Ted, get over here. How do I look today? I heard you told her she looks great, but we can't prove it. How you doing, Ted?
So wait.
Maybe you start creeping on Ted for 10 instances, right?
The answer
what do you
is,
do? Fight fire with fire, right? Eye for an eye.
He's going to give him a taste of his own medicine.
You're going to get the biggest, creepiest dude you know to follow Ted.
Hey, and then Ted. As soon as you start doing that, next thing you know, Ted's like, hey, I like where this is going.
Right, right.
Now he's at your office walking you to the car. Now what are you going to do, JP? What are you going to do now?
You put him on a performance plan and advise him to go back to school so that we can promote him into a new position. Or you fire him, one of the two. I don't know. Your scenario is terrible. This is wretched, but it's so real. It's so
why
real.
Why is that terrible?
It happens.
It's real.
That's it why it's terrible, because it happens, and it is real. Holy crap.
Yeah.
All right. So playing devil's advocate in regards to, like, okay, HR is not your friend. They're just going to slam you against the wall. This is blah, 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 blah. Well, you just made the point as to why it's actually worthwhile. I get it. I got it. The people listening got it.
Mm-hmm.
But would it really take 10 instances to actually provoke action? Wouldn't that be a negligence on the fact of the company at that point?
It would. No, it's so I just
mean, you're
going to
have performance and training plans mixed in between, right? Hey, it's your third allegation. We're going to reset the clock, put you in training so you get 3 more chances. No.
No, right? I threw that number out there just for the sake of the hypothetical situation. Honestly, the second or third time in a relatively short amount of time, my eyebrows are going to go up. And
what's a short amount of time? You're talking like a week, 2 weeks, a year, 10 years?
No. I would say, I don't know, 3. It depends. It depends on the size of the organization. 3 and 6 months? I don't know.
So in the meantime, as allegations are levied against an employee like this, while you might be doing investigations and nothing's found and blah, 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 that employee might get held back or passed over for certain things because, well, he's
alleged,
right?
No, we have to watch that, right? So it's every
don't
time.
Don't hire him. He's got too much baggage. Leave him where he's at. Do you really want that problem in the next step? Yada, yada. You know how that talk
goes.
Well,
you got to be careful. I know. But you have to watch that as well. HR has the responsibility to keep an eye on those promotional opportunities on both cases, for the employee who lodged a complaint and for the manager who, I don't want to say was wrongfully accused, for the manager whose allegation were not sustained.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So because it could very well be that it was honestly misunderstood. Maybe the manager got the wrong cues. And as long as the manager corrects his or her behavior, depending on what it was, boom, done. Everything was fixed, right? The issue comes into play when it's severe and pervasive and it keeps happening. So after one person, one complaint comes up and nothing comes out of it, I told you earlier that I go ahead and I take that opportunity to remind them of our policies on sexual harassment. Here, sign here just to make sure you know what we got out there.
I got it. Here, coming back at you. So your example person in question is in the process of assisting training. And he's a guy and he's assisting training a young female on the team. Someone else, another guy within the organization, makes a lewd joke about him helping her, misconstrued now by other people on the floor, and now it's perceived that he was creeping when he was actually literally just helping, and it was the outside entity, that other guy over there cracking jokes, that created that culture rumor mill spin. So then now what you doing?
That happens.
It happens a lot.
So you're asking me what I would do in that situation?
So then now the allegations are being brought forth from other people that have overheard the joke of this third-party jokester guy. Where are you at, man?
Okay. So this situation comes to me from other people not involved, right? They just heard the joke.
You got it. You got it.
All right. So I pulled the manager. The person who is being alleged to being a creeper.
All right.
Get a statement from her. I get the statement from the other person. Get a statement from him or her. And then I got a statement from everybody involved, everybody that heard it. And then I put all those pieces together, right? Because if he really didn't mean anything about, if he really did nothing at all, it'll come out in writing. And if she really doesn't feel harassed or she doesn't feel unsafe, is it going to come out in writing as well? No, absolutely not.
Okay. So in the hypersensitive world that we live in nowadays, what do you do then in that scenario with all these third-party rumor mill people that are stirring the pot and creating these allegations and instances? Hypersensitivity is an issue nowadays.
You have to create an environment where that kind of joking is not allowed. So you talk to the person who made the joke, depending on how bad the joke was. If it was something in jest, something, you know, really dumb and lighthearted, all right, guys, be careful, right? Be careful what you put out there. But if something that was really crude, you could hold that other person accountable for essentially creating an unhealthy, harassing work environment. Because jokes can create unhealthy work environment. They really can.
We're heading down an interesting path here. So, at what point in the workplace does slander and libel come into play?
You see, so now you're using those legal terms, right?
Yes, I am.
So it depends, right? What is the definition of slander, and what is the definition of libel? Punch it in the Google box. One is written, one is said. Which is which? Go ahead. Ask Google. Are you asking?
Oh, I thought you were still doing a speech. Go ahead.
No, it's you. I see you typing.
No, I'm not typing. I'm literally not typing.
I see you typing.
No, I swear to God, I'm checking the audio track right now to make sure things are going good while you're not talking.
Yeah,
it was like a pregnant pause, a dead silence.
The audio track is on the other side. Yeah, whatever, bud. Okay, look, so as far as libel and slander is concerned, we have to be careful with those terms, right? Because if you have one employee who sees one employee A, what he or she believes is treating employee B in a harassing or hostile manner, although that in itself is not happening, but from their angle, from what they saw, they reasonably believe that was actually happening, nothing would happen to that employee because that's what he or she reasonably believed at that point in time with the evidence that was at hand right then and there in those 5 seconds of fame, right? So we want to be careful if they're wrong, if we punish somebody, because we don't want to create an environment that you have to be 1,000% right before you bring something forward. If you're any less than 1,000% right, you're going to get written up, you're going to get fired, or you're going to get harassed, whatever the case may be. So in the absence of somebody writing a statement that says, yes, I lied about this, and yes, this is an issue, there's nothing much we can do. We have to take it for what it is, and we conduct the investigation, and wherever the rabbit takes us, we'll follow it in the hole.
Defamation. It's an area law that provides a civil remedy when someone's words end up causing harm to your reputation or your livelihood. Libel is a written or published defamatory statement, while slander is defamation that is spoken by the defendant.
Correct. So we won't get to those terms lightly, right? We won't. Because again, it depends on the evidence at hand of what the person who's making the allegation saw from their perspective, from their angle. Right? Now, if that keeps happening over and over and over again, the whole smoke in the forest, so we have to assume there's a fire comes into effect, and you've got to take some action. But in any work environment, you just have to investigate everything, man. Just investigate everything as much as you can.
I got one last question for you real quick, okay?
Go right ahead,
one last
sir.
Question. What was the title of the article I sent you again?
HR is not your friend.
Okay.
Something like that.
HR is not your friend. Ha, ha, ha. Funny. Clickbait. Why do people hate HR? What's your bad rep? What's the bad thing about you? Why is it a whole thing, man? I know it's a whole show. Give me like a 60-second type thing, man.
For the longest time, HR has been labeled as the police of an organization.
Well, you are.
And, in a way, but not that policeman that shows up and is just given us speeding tickets because they just get a high from it, right? It's we are the person who we're the third party. We're the referee, not a referee in a WWE wrestling, because they don't count. They don't do nothing. I'm talking about a real referee, a third party perspective, that strategic partner to help organizations with the human aspect of talent.
All right, so you're a hall monitor.
We're not a hall monitor. For the longest time, we've gotten that stigma, and I work, you know, we're so hard to
Where's
get away
your
from
pee-pee
that.
Time pass? You need to get back in your cubicle. Called? What are you doing?
It was called a pee-pee time pass.
Get back in your cubicle unless you have a pee-pee time pass. Right.
Oh, Lord. No, man. It's I know that's the rap that we get. And nobody likes to see us whenever we say, "Hey, Bob, can I see you for 2 minutes?" It's never a good thing. People get they get upset, they get anxious, because nobody goes into HR for something positive. I'm trying to change that.
So HR is not your friend, but you should trust them.
Are there people that are not your friends that you trust?
No.
Really?
I trust no one. I don't even know you. I don't even trust you. I don't even know where I am right now. You've confused me so much. Holy smokes.
That's because you're easy to confuse. That's probably why.
I'm kidding.
I know, dude. So, yeah, man, we do get a bad rap. That was
a clickbait. But where I'm going here is trying to dissect that title. Dissect that title in 60 seconds or less. Dissect that title, and why is that clickbait? That is what I'm trying to drive to. Why is that title clickbait to you?
That is clickbait because that whole article, how it started, the anchor of the article, it's how the HR department at Microsoft failed Microsoft.
Right.
As a result, Microsoft is being sued by over 8,600 women, all engineers and IT people at Microsoft.
But that
not
title,
HR overall.
There it is. Not HR mm-hmm. overall. Correct. And there are other professionals out there that do it different.
I really wish there was an article about everything HR does right.
Now we're
about
talking.
All the other, yeah, and what no Do shit it. About all the other organizations in the nation that have these sexual harassment issues, and HR step in and handled business. But we're not going to hear that. We're not going to hear that because, like you said, that's boring. Nobody wants to hear an organization that does everything right. That shit ain't going to happen, JC. You know that. So
It would be good to know.
It really would.
And when you're talking about those quote trade secrets of diversity and inclusion and your numbers, and you're talking about doing good things that actually help people and how you mitigate issues and handle it the right way, there's a story to be told there.
But here's the thing. I'm going to put a call to all of our listeners, all of our HR people,
both of you,
all two of you, if you have a story of where HR stepped in and saved the day, let us know. Call us. Let us know. We need to hear more about those stories. And they're out there. I've seen them. I've done them. So let us know. Call JC. Call me. Text us. Email us. Drop it into the Facebook page, Instagram, and on Twitter. Let us know exactly what you think. We would love to hear from you. We don't have to use your name. We don't have to use your organization. Just give me the general gist of what happened, and we'll go ahead and throw it on the air. There needs to be more of those to help the field of human resources get away from that old stigma that we're just there to enforce policy. And by the way, enforcing policy is not just the job of HR. It's the job of every leader in the organization. But HR, for some reason, are the keepers of the policies. So right. That's where we get stuck with that.
Normally, Ricky would say, give him a call. I'll be more than happy to take your call. My number is 407-501-8425. Feel free to call me, even if it's in the middle of the night. You could send a text anytime. I don't mind. I'm more responsive to messages between the hours of 2 a.m. and 5. So please feel free to hit me up anytime.
Look, Truly. The reason I said call JC. All right. It's because some people know JC. Some people know me. Really, it depends. So,
no, but seriously, that's my number, 407-501-8425, 2 a.m.
Hey, okay. So that's our number. If you text me at 2 a.m., that's fine. That's okay. I'm going to respond to you around 8 a.m. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to turn my phone off. Thanks, JC.
Hey, no problem. It's the least I do. Trust me. Trust me.
I know.
Hey, give me some closing thoughts real quick. I'm at 55 minutes in. We really do have to run this week. We're under very tight time schedule. Rick, go.
Closing thoughts. HR people out there, conduct your investigations thoroughly. Make sure that whatever advice you give your business partner is a strategic one and it's the right one. And make sure you put your game hat on and put your salesman hat on when you're trying to convince that business partner of what the right thing to do. That's for the HR people. For everybody else, for all the employees, correct, HR is not your quote-unquote friend. But you know what? If you come to the right HR department with an issue, at least my department, the right thing to do is to take a look at the issue from a third-party perspective. We'll investigate, and we're going to be fair, and we're going to give you a fair shake at every single issue. We're going to give you the right answer that you need to hear for the situation. That doesn't mean that's the answer you want to hear. It just means it's the right one. But at the end of the day, we side on the side of fairness.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions regarding our podcast services or just want to have me MC your next corporate event, or if you'd like to buy into having this guy with that knowledge and expertise hop on site and provide a consultation service or even do it remotely, feel free to reach out. We're here for you. Ricky, what are the best ways to reach you for your consulting services, please?
407-501-8425. You can really call me or text me at 2 a.m. That's okay. You can email us at hrtalk@biesco.com, on Facebook, on Instagram. We are HR Talk Podcast, and on Twitter, Podcast HR. We're there all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ricky, I'm JC. It's been our pleasure to be back here for you this week. Ladies and gentlemen, drive safe. Have a good night.